You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and John Hawksworth.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Alex Noren claims his second Omega European Masters title.
Yeah, it feels amazing. I've never won coming from behind. I've never won a playoff on the European Tour, and it feels maybe even more amazing that way.
And we'll speak exclusively to Alex Noren shortly. The Swede clinched victory after a tremendous final round battle with Scott Hent.
Alex played that the 18th hole the last two times way better than I played it, obviously. And you can't complain when you get yourself in a position to play off the win, and if somebody makes a great birdie in the playoff hole, then so be it.
So stay with us as we review all the action from the beautiful Grand Saussière, and we'll also look ahead to the KLM Open as well. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined by John Hawksworth. John, how
morning.
Are you?
Morning. I'm very good, actually. I tell you, the traffic doesn't move too well around here.
It doesn't, does it? It can be difficult getting here, John, but you're here and that's all that counts.
Well, is it?
I think it is. Alex Noren, the winner in Switzerland, the second time he's won. Cron, tremendous performance from a player that's had his injury issues over the last couple of years, but this year we've seen him at his very best.
Yeah, he's a very good player, Alex. Multiple winner on tour now. And yeah, it was extra time against Scott Hend. They had to go back to the 18th. Both tied at 17 under par up at Cron Montana up in the mountains. And the playoff, well, in regular time, Hend hooked it off the tee and then hit some amazing shot. Bounced the water at the front of the green. Anyway, he managed to make four. Then he went back to the tee and unbelievably hit the same shot again off the tee. Then it bounced out and came back. And again, he found the green just flying the water. Now, Scott Hend, it was a big deal for him because had he won this tournament, he would have won the Asian Tour Hors d'Amérique because this event was co-sanctioned. And that would have meant getting in the Masters. So it was a big deal for him. But Noren played the hole brilliantly, drove it up the left-hand side, then hit a wedge onto the green. Hend chipped up. I don't know, I suppose he's left himself about 7 feet. But it wasn't required because Noren then rolled it in from about 25. Perfect pace into the hole and claimed his second victory. He's become a very good player. He has had injury problems, but fortunately he's got through those. And, you know, to win twice in your career isn't bad, never mind in a season. He's a great bloke. His family were there. And it's always gets huge crowds up at Cron Montana. I don't know whether you've ever done the train journey.
I've never been.
Well, you need to take your wife or your girlfriend or both if they get on and fly into Geneva and then get the train to Sion. It's unbelievable along the lake. And then a little wander up the hill, but it's one of my favourite tournaments of the year.
We saw something a little bit different from Alex Noren because previously he's been a very good front runner, but this time around he had to come from off the pace to win, John. He birdied the first hole, which was the second hardest over the course of the week, and then he had that key run of four birdies on the spin, got up and down on the seventh, and when you get that momentum going, it must give you great confidence when you've overtaken your nearest rival to go on down the back nine and go on and claim victory.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, to birdie the first, it used to be a par five. It's a par four over 500 yards. But the thing in Cron Montana, the ball flies a long way because you're at about 5,500 feet. So the yardage is not true. You know, seven, they all hit it on seven now. It's drivable. And there's really good birdie chances, sort of five, six and seven. Nine's another par five, a big par five, but they get up there in two now with the modern equipment. Two par fives on the back nine. And they've done alterations over the years to the course, improved it dramatically. Seve had a hand in the redesign of the greens, but apart from that, they've made all sorts of alterations. But Noren, you know, he's a class player and he likes playing around there. And, you know, he shoot 66, 65 over the weekend. He did some real damage and it was a great victory.
Well, I'm pleased to say that we are joined now by double Omega European Masters champion Alex Noren. Alex, thanks for coming on the show. Your sixth European Tour title, your second this season. Congratulations, well played.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it feels unreal. It's better than I thought, yeah.
You must have been inspired when you look at some of the former champions in Switzerland, the likes of Seve, of course, and Thomas Bjorn winning previously.
Yeah, you know, when you walk down from the hotel to the course, you see those plates on the ground, and I saw Thomas Bjorn won it twice, and yeah, but I just love Cron, and I love the whole tournament, and I think the course plays fantastic. You know, it's one of the most fun courses we play all year. And, you know, and when you like it that much, I think it's easier to play well.
And you did it slightly differently because we've been used to you winning from off the front, but this time you came from off the pace. How different was that for you with your mindset?
Well, it's different because you got to put a really good round together. If you're in front, you can play, you know, maybe shoot 1-2 on the par and hope that nobody else is shooting low. But now I had to put a good round together, and I started good, you know, with a birdie on the first, and then it felt easier than maybe having to really force the birdies. They came quite naturally. And then, you know, there's some short holes, 5, 6, 7, and 9 on the front nine, and managed to make a lot of birdies there. And then I was a few ahead, but then around, you know, the greens were so tricky, so it's easy to, you know, make a 3-putt here or something like that and not get up and down for a birdie like on 15, and all of a sudden we were squared, you know, after 18.
And did you think you might get it done in regulation time? Because obviously Hend hadn't played that hole that well.
Well, I you know, like the day before, I hit a wayward tee shot on 18 and got really lucky with my approach shot, which bounced like short of the water, and then the next bounce was over the water, and I made a par, which maybe should have been a bogey or a double bogey. And then he did the same in the 72nd hole, so I thought, now we're even, you know. So yeah, but it's just hard to make a birdie. The pin was pretty tough and the wind picked up a lot, and I thought I hit the right shot, but it came up well short, and then the wind kind of switched in the playoff hole again. So I thought the wind and the ball flying a little bit longer, it was a little bit harder to get that wedge close to pin, yeah.
But you did, of course, make the birdie in the playoff and go on and win. You're moving up the world rankings nicely, Alex. Are you a bit frustrated that you didn't get closer to the Ryder Cup team? Because you've seen you in the winner's enclosure twice now over the course of this summer.
Yeah, well, you know, I had an injury last year, so I didn't play as much as I want. I'm not disappointed at all. I would have picked the three guys he picked, and then maybe would have thought of me after this week, but it's a tough decision, and, you know, I'm hoping to get in. It would be amazing to play the Ryder Cup, you know, next time or after that. So I'm not really thinking about that.
Well, of course, you're going to Holland this week. It's a new golf course designed by Monty. Do you think you have a chance of back-to-back wins, and do you know the course?
Yeah, I've never been to this course, and in golf, I'm really happy with the good stuff, because, you know, there's going to be some bad. It's a tough game. You know, I'm just trying to take down my expectations and kind of don't think too much of the week. Just trying to play the shots necessary for this week. And I think my coach and my caddy, we work really hard on trying to learn the shots that I need for this specific week. And my caddy keeps me kind of one shot at a time, and that's what I'm really trying to do, and that's probably what helped me this summer, because we work quite hard on that. And yeah, it's a nice way to work, I think, because it puts some stress away and just focus on one shot at a time. Yeah.
It's an inland link, so it might have a little bit of a feel to where you won in Scotland earlier this summer.
Well, that sounds nice, yeah. I haven't even looked at the course, but I heard good things about it. It seems like a nice place. So, yeah, but I didn't know that it was an inland link, but that sounds very good.
And finally, where else can we see you over the course of the remainder of the year? Are you going to be busy all the way through to Dubai? What are you going to be doing?
Yeah, I'm going to be quite busy. I'm playing next week, and then Italy, and then 2 weeks off. And then I'm thinking about playing the rest. You know, there's a lot of tournaments and finishing off in Australia in the World Cup. So it's going to be a lot of golf and then a little bit of rest after that.
Well, congratulations for your win in Switzerland. We wish you well for the remainder of the year. And many thanks for coming on the Race to Dubai show.
Thank you very much. All the best.
He's a fine player, Alex Noren, John. There's no doubt about that. Is he a future Ryder Cup player, do you think?
Yeah, I would think he is, actually. Is he a future Ryder Cup player? It's so hard to get in that side. But the way he's playing now, he's becoming very consistent. There's no reason at all why he can't make that Ryder Cup team at some point, but not this time.
It was his 6th European Tour title and his 2nd of the season following the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open win. He moves to 8th in the Race to Dubai and continues his excellent 2016 form. This victory is his 6th top 10 finish in his last 11 appearances. Let's hear from the runner-up, Scott Henn. Mark Tompkins asked him if losing out in a playoff made defeat tougher to take.
Not really. I think that Alex played that the 18th hole the last two times way better than I played it, obviously, and he held an awesome putt then to make a birdie, so it's well and truly deserved.
It is quite a daunting tee shot on 18, isn't it, when you're looking down that sloping fairway?
Not really. It's the same as any other tee shot. Just got to stand there and hit it, and I was unable to hit the shots that I wanted to hit on there yesterday and today twice, so that's cricket.
But overall, it's been a great battle between you two today.
Yeah, he played fantastic golf today, and obviously I just didn't play quite well enough. It's just, you know, that's golf. You can't complain when you get yourself in a position in a playoff to win, and if somebody makes a great birdie in the playoff hole, then so be it.
Fairly philosophical off the back of that playoff defeat, Scott there, John.
Yeah.
Obviously, he didn't play 18 particularly well on the last day, either in regulation or indeed in the playoff, and I think it's fair to say that Alex won it on merit.
Well, he was trying to hit a slider up the left-hand side and double-crossed himself. You know, there are trees up there, and he tangled with them, and it's only a short par four. So if you can't hit a straight tee shot, A, in regular time, because he perhaps would have had a chance to birdie it, and then in the playoff, he's struggling, so that's one that's got away from him.
Let's hear from Beef next. England's Andrew Johnston was third at 14 under.
Yeah, it was good. Again, it was a bit frustrating front nine, but I tried to stay patient and finally managed to make a score. You know, I had a nice break and it's nice to come in fresh. Yeah, I've really enjoyed this week and just got to keep pushing on, you know, keep working hard and keep trying to get the results.
A 65 on Sunday and a terrific back nine for Andrew.
Yeah, fantastic back nine. I mean, he's become a bit of a cult figure, hasn't he? It must be quite hard. I mean, I was at the Open Championship when they're all shouting, Beef. You know, you're trying to concentrate on your game, but it's something that's just developed over this year. So we'll see how he gets on with that, because it's a lot to cope with. But he is a breath of fresh air and a good result.
A further two shots back in fourth was one of Europe's Ryder Cup wildcard picks, Lee Westwood, who finished with an impressive 63.
Yeah, I struggled Thursday. I was a little bit rusty. I haven't played a lot of golf. I didn't play any golf the week before, and I haven't played much golf the 4 weeks coming into here, so it took me a while to find my form. We've had pretty benign conditions this week, and the greens have been receptive, and it's been almost ideal for scoring, so it's been a great week. It's nice to come up here and play well.
Good week for Lee. Good week for Darren Clarke as well, because he will want his wildcard picks to perform between now and the Ryder Cup, John.
Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, Westwood, he's a class player, isn't he? He's second in the Masters this year. He's had other good results. Now he's played well here with a few weeks to go to the Ryder Cup, as well as Matthew Fitzpatrick, top 10, which I'll get onto in a minute. But yeah, of course, Darren Clarke would be very pleased that one of his wild picks is showing a bit of form. That's the whole idea of picking them.
Speaking of Matt Fitzpatrick, he tied for seventh in the end after a final round 64, which indeed helped make up for a difficult 75 to start the event.
I mean, I put the stats in after the first round and it was just a bit of everything. Didn't drive it well, didn't hit it well and didn't put it well, you know, whereas these next three I've hit it much better and just hold a few putts as well. So, yesterday was the round that sort of got away a little bit, could have been a lot better, but also today I've made some long putts for par and obviously saved par on the last as well, so it's been a good day.
And obviously some exciting times coming up with the Ryder Cup not too far away now, and nice if you can hit a run of form leading up to that going to the States.
Yeah, definitely, you know, I've got a week off next week, I'll have a bit of a rest and just get some practice in and go Italy and then another week off before, so I feel like I'll be rested, ready for that week.
John, you mentioned Matt. A word on Danny Willett, who was just outside of the top 10.
Yeah, well, of course, Danny's been quiet, hasn't he? Masters champion, but it doesn't really matter he's been quiet. If he's starting to find a little bit of form now, that's good news as well. And this game is always about confidence, and it can only build it for him. So, yeah, good news.
Top 10 we need from Cron, John.
Right, Alex Norren won in a playoff from the Australian Scott Henn. Third on his own was Andrew Johnston. Then fourth on his own was Lee Westwood. Fifth was Richard Bland, sixth Julian Ken, then seventh tied was Matthew Fitzpatrick, Florian Fritsch, who, by the way, doesn't fly, which is not good as a golf professional, Romain Langasque, who came off the challenge tour on an invitation, great performance to finish inside the top 10, Pablo Larrazábal and Renato Paratore, a talented Italian. Keep your eye on him in the future. So that goes down to the top 11.
Fantasy Race 2 Dubai tips from last week. Rob Lee went for Nicholas Kolsarts, who was tied for 24th, six birdies in his last seven holes to propel the Belgian up the leaderboard. And Ewan when for Bradley Dredge you missed the cut. So mixed fortunes for our tipsters last week, John.
Yes, indeed. But, you know, if we knew what was going to be happening, we wouldn't be sat here.
This is true. A couple of people that did know exactly what was going to happen are Fantasy Race 2 Dubai players Nick Harwood and Ryan Greenland, who were the joint best performers for the Omega European Masters. Extraordinarily, both picked exactly the same team, with winner Alex Norren as captain, fourth place Lee Westwood as vice-captain, and Hend, Johnston, Kolsarts and Willett making up their teams of six. Thomas Edling still leads the overall standings, and keep an eye on the European Tour website this week for their Fantasy 3 to watch at the KLM Open. To pick your fantasy team, just go to europeantour.com/myEuropeanTour. Let's move on to the top 10 of the Race to Dubai standings. John.
Yes, let's, because there's been a little bit of movement. Danny Willett still leads from Henrik Stenson, Rory McIlroy third, Rafa Cabrera-Bello fourth, Louis Oosthuizen fifth, Brandon Gray sixth, Chris Wood seventh. Now into the top 10, Alex Norren in eighth, Lee Westwood is ninth, and Tyrrell Hatton 10th.
In other news, on the European Challenge Tour, Alvaro Velasco staged a dramatic final day comeback to win the Cordon Golf Open, shooting an incredible 8-under-par 62 to seal a one-shot victory. The Spaniard started his fourth round 8 shots behind leader Alexander Knapp, who finished tied for second. Meanwhile, Andre Bossert captured his first European Senior Tour title in fine style at the Travis Perkins Masters, holding off the challenger former Masters champion Ian Woosnam and Phil Golding to emerge victorious at Woburn. In terms of the world rankings, we'll update those on next week's podcast. The Deutsche Bank Championship on the PGA Tour is still to be completed, with Paul Casey leading and both Rory McIlroy and Justin Rose in contention, so the rankings stay the same until the end of that one. Meanwhile, the European Tour has announced the early part of its schedule for next season. The Race to Dubai begins with the Australian PGA Championship at the start of December. The UBS Hong Kong Open will then round off the action for 2016. After the Christmas break, the European Tour returns to South Africa for the BMW SA Open before the traditional desert swing in Abu Dhabi, Qatar and Dubai. For more details, check out europeantour.com. John, what do you make of the early part of next season's schedule?
I think it's very good indeed. I noticed that the Hassan Dur, the money has gone up to €2.5 million for next year, which is an increase of €1 million. So the field will be stronger there on a great golf course at Royal Golf Dar es Salaam, which I've played. It's just one of the finest golf courses in the world. But no, for the players, they can look at that and go, right, I'll go there, I won't go there. And of course, in between, you've got a WGC.
Goes to Mexico as well.
Yeah, that's a new venue, Mexico. I've never been to Mexico. So, well, there'll be plenty of the world's top 50 going down there to Mexico for that WGC. And that just shows what golf has done to spread it all over the world.
Before we look ahead to the next event on the European Tour, we've a new section of the Race to Dubai show where we'll be answering questions that you've asked us via @EuropeanTour on Twitter. Gordon Smith from Lanark in Scotland asks, what's going to be done in regards to speeding up play and what penalties should the culprits incur, John?
Well, the European Tour this year have taken on a new initiative where they're trying to deal with it. So what they're doing now is they're monitoring players because they have to adhere to times. But modern game has slowed down a lot. And the reason it's slowed down for me is psychologists and that teach you not to do any preparation until it's your go, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. And if you keep knocking that on, it's only going to make the game slow. So the European Tour have decided to monitor players. Then they will look at individual players. And if they get a bad monitoring, they're then allowed to penalise them. So the Tour are dealing with it and the players are actually embracing it. And I am, same as the gentleman there, I am all in favour of speeding the game up. The seniors yesterday was 4 hours, 45 minutes for the last round. And Ian Woosnam was furious.
European Tour is going in the right way with this. Being very proactive, Chief Executive Keith Pelly has laid down the law this season. We've heard from one or two players as well, Shane Lowry in particular at the Irish Open, and it's been welcomed by the vast majority, hasn't it?
Well, it has, but you see, some players are quicker than others. Shane Lowry doesn't hang around. Woosnam on the Senior Tour doesn't hang around. But there are some players who are so meticulous at what they do before they pull the trigger, they're going to have a real problem changing their routine to adhere to what the Tour are trying to achieve, which is the speed play up. So for the ones that get on with it, they'll be delighted. For the ones that don't get on with it, it could be a bit of a problem.
How difficult is it going to be to speed up play over the next few years? Does more need to be done? Do we need to get into more severe penalties? Or should we just see how this particular season pans out and then reflect to see if play has been speeded up?
Yeah, let's see what happens this season. But make no mistake about it, the tour are not going to let this go away. Because from a viewer's point of view, I mean, on the PGA Tour on Sunday, I think it was Ryan Moore, or it might have been Kevin Chappell, took 3 minutes to hit a wedge into a hole playing with Paul Casey, which was just absolutely ridiculous. Now, the tour are trying to set a precedence here, and they will deal with it, and the players have a choice. You either speed up play, or there will be penalties to pay.
Another question that we have, this is from Brad, who's asked, I'm having a debate with my mates about who's the longest hitter on tour. What do you guys think? Biggest hitter on the European tour?
Oh,
I've got the stats in front of me, so I know this.
Well, I'm going to have a go at it. I mean, I was out with Thomas Peters in Denmark. It was just ridiculous how far he was hitting it. Probably the longest on the European tour is McIlroy I'm going for. I mean, it's just extraordinary. But then Stenson's up there as well. So is Thomas Peters. I would have to go for McIlroy.
Well, I do know the answer. Officially, John, Dean Burmeister is the longest hitter on the European Tour. He's not played too many rounds, so therefore his average is very high. You mentioned Thomas Peters. He's inside the top 15. So is Charles Schwartzel as well. But obviously, certain players don't always use their driver at every single hole that they could do.
No, Stenson's case in point there, but when he gets the driver out, he hits it miles, but he chooses to use the 3-wood because he thinks he's more accurate. I mean, the stats, yeah, Burmeister might have, when they were measuring, just happened to have flushed one and has gone to the top of the list. But consistently, you look at McIlroy, Stenson, Thomas Peters, Alvaro Quiroz is ridiculous as well. They are the main, for me, long hitters on tour, and it's such an advantage if you can fly 290 over a bunker. It's not a yardage I was familiar with.
Don't forget to tweet us your questions ahead of next week's show to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. On to this week's action on the race to Dubai and the KLM Open. Defending champion is European Ryder Cup wildcard Thomas Peters. We've got a new course, though, John.
We have indeed. It's a Monty-designed golf course. Inland links, would you say? Yeah, Monty's been designing for a few years. Normally, they would play it on the sand belt of sort of Noordwijk, Kennemer, Hilversum. I don't know why I slipped into that Dutch accent then, but there you go. There's some great courses over in Holland. I mean, a lot of our listeners probably would never, ever consider going to Holland for a golfing holiday. It is fantastic. You can get on the golf courses without any problem, but it is a new one this year, so it'll be interesting to see who deals with it. If it gets a bit of breeze, it could be a real challenge.
Speaking of playing golf in Holland and the amateurs, there's an opportunity for members of the gallery here to play alongside the pros on the Thursday and the Saturday of the event, John. It's unbelievable, isn't it? The KLM breaking new ground by hosting a unique Beat the Pro competition. Amateurs will have the chance to challenge the European Tour's finest by hitting a shot to the green at the par 3 14th hole. Prizes on offer if they can get the ball closest to the pin. This is going to be interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they're trying to bring in sort of new innovations, get the crowd involved. I mean, we had the Hickory Challenge up at Cran-sur-Sierre. So it'll be interesting. And make no mistake, if an amateur has to stand on the tee and the TV cameras are there and the players are over water or whatever it is,
it's a nerve jangler.
Oh, you'll find out that bicycle
it's a knee
clips,
knocker.
Yeah, should be sold on the tee.
Who's teeing up in Holland this week, John?
I'll tell you who's teeing up in Holland this week. Robert Carlsen, former winner of the Race to Dubai, Wai Yang, the last man to beat Tiger in a major, and also the first Asian man to win a major. Then Chris Wood's going down there, Ryder Cup player. Byung-Hun An won the PGA. Matteo Manassero, who's also won the BMW PGA Championship, struggling, as is Alvaro Quiroz. Where's he disappeared to? Alex Norren's going down there. Jai D, of course, Norren won last week. Bernd Wiesberger. Thomas Peters. Oh, I can't wait to watch him. Li Hao Tong, who's a winner on tour this year. So Scott Hend, who lost last week in the playoff. David Horsey, multiple winner on tour. Marcus Fraser, a winner this year. So it's going to be a great event. I love the Dutch Open. And I think I might have the winner.
OK, who are you going for?
I'm going for Thomas Peters to defend. He's had a week off after winning in Denmark. He is on such a high because he's been selected for the Ryder Cup. and he's defending champion, and he is flushing it.
I'm going to go for Marcus Fraser, who was just outside of the medals in Rio and played well up until Sunday in Switzerland. I'm hopeful that the Aussie will go closer to me in Holland.
I wish you all the best.
Incidentally, the Hickory Challenge, there's more on europeantour.com if you want to find out a little bit more. That is your lot for now, though. Next week, we'll review the KLM Open and look ahead to the Italian Open as well. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. But for now, from John Hawksworth...
See you in Holland.
And myself, Dan Roebuck, it's goodbye. We'll see you next time.